Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the Run As Well podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
Me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Yay! Your medal on. You've got your London Marathon medal.
Yeah. No one can see, but I've got my medal on because I'm not in an office today, so someone's got to see me wearing my medal.
Do you just wear it for the day after, or do you think, do you wear it all week?
All week. I'm not taking it off.
Yeah. Really? That's too long, I think.
No.
Straight away.
No, it loses impact, isn't it? Like, she's still got it on. It's like next Sunday. Oh.
No, maybe next Sunday's too far. Because next Sunday's Manchester Marathon, isn't it? So I don't want to steal anyone's thunder.
True.
Okay. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And it's Chicago, I think, as
you should have been doing.
As I should have been doing.
Hey, Jane, how would you feel about doing another marathon in a week's time?
Honestly, the worst plan I'd ever had. Like, to be honest, my legs are much better today than they ever have been. I don't know if that means I could have gone faster, but I just couldn't. I couldn't run a marathon next week.
Did run a PB though, Jane. So
did run a PB.
Yes,
it's like a big PB as well, right? It's like 5 or 6 minutes.
6 minutes and about 18 minutes quicker than the last time I did London.
Wow, so, really good.
Honestly, don't know what happened. I finally listened to Lewis's advice to lap my watch every mile. He's told me to do this for 4 marathons and I've ignored him until yesterday, and it really works. Like, it really works. Charlotte Purdue was doing it as well. If you watch the footage of her, she's touching her watch every mile because your watch just goes mental. And it told me at one point I was doing like a 15 minute mile. I was like, oh, I don't think I am, and then when I lapped it, I definitely wasn't. So top tip that I should have listened to years ago.
to someone who runs in a Casio watch, could you just explain briefly what do you mean? Mean lapping a watch?
Rich, you know, you're on your Casio, there will be a button that says lap. So if you do, you start your stopwatch.
Right.
You're just recording each lap. So some watches do it automatically. So it'll be like you set a mile distance on your watch and it will automatically generate your time after that. But it runs off the GPS, so it's tracking you. Whereas if you go by the course marker, the physical marker, and you click lap for that, then you'll know in between each lap what your split was for that lap according to how you've lapped it. Rather than if you, as Jane was saying, if you just rely on the GPS and it goes mental because of all the buildings, then you're like, you don't actively know what you ran that last split in.
Love it.
And I think it was good from a mental point of view too, because I was like, oh, this is really hard. And then I'd look down, I was like, oh, I'm 5 minutes into this lap, so I've only got like 3.5 to go. And then I'd be like, and then I get to press lap again, and then I get to have a gel, and then I get to do this. So I'd like give myself little things to think about the whole way around, which is really fun.
You are a creature of habit, Jane, so this is
it. I am. I'm a control freak, so I just need things to control in a marathon, and it works.
But you were saying that your legs don't feel that tired. Do you think that's in any way to do with footwear? Because I know that's one thing that a lot of people are talking about, is that you get a bit more of a recovery with these new shoes.
Well, this is a confession. I went against everything we've ever written in Runner's World, and I changed everything on race day. I didn't run in the shoes I was meant to run in, and I had a gel that I'd never had before, 20 miles. So I made a last minute decision to change from the Tempo Next Percent, which I've done all of my training in. I absolutely love that shoe, but they have like an AirPod in the front of the shoe under the ball of your foot, and I've been suffering with, I don't know what it is, something like I think it's like
your
a
broken
spot.
Foot.
My broken foot. so it's just like a hot spot, and it's, if you like line up the the like little pod on my foot. I think it's just where I've done so many miles in them. There's like a tent, like
a hot spot.
I've done something. It's like a hot spot. So I was going to run in them. And then I was speaking to my brother the night before and he was like, why would you run in shoes you know are going to hurt you? Why don't you just run in the next percent? And I was like, oh, I've not done any miles in them for like at least 2 months. And he was like, that's what everyone does though. They'll be fine. So I just changed my shoes. I just wrote in my shoe. I wrote London Marathon and I wrote the day. And I was like, that's it. I'm running in them.
Amazing.
And then I took a Morton gel with caffeine at mile 20 that I'd never had before.
That's the one though, that thing though, isn't it? That propels you.
It was strong. Like I was, like so many people said they were screaming in my face and I just didn't even acknowledge them. I was like tunnel visioned.
I saw you at like 23 and a bit. You were given on the other side of the road, but okay. I was over the barrier giving it the loudest hollering I could possibly give. And you were just through, just regardless, just ploughing through.
That was the Morton gel. I was like, hi on caffeine. But it was a risky move because it could have upset my stomach and I would have had an hour to go, but it paid off.
Total mavericking at London Marathon paid off.
Just
love
doing
it.
The Rick Pearson method, changing everything on the morning, messing with my mind.
Well, it worked for you. Didn't necessarily. I wouldn't say it worked quite as successfully for me, but nailed it, Jane. That's quality. Yeah, well, Ben and I were out various places. I started off in Bermondsey, so sort of 12 miles in, and then we met up at, it was kind of embankment, mate, wasn't it? Sort of mile 24 and a half.
I was late getting out of the house to go, and so I missed all the speedy people, like the elites. So I didn't see any of that, which is sometimes I like seeing that because it gives you a real like insight into sort of sharp end of it all. But I always think that London isn't really about that, so I wanted to get down and see see the masses doing their thing. So I managed to sort of get down to the latter stages. So I think I was
looking out for you both around Mudchute because it was all a lot of people were sat outside pubs and it was
thanks.
All very like craft beery and I thought, where are Ben and Rick? This looks very their vibe.
And all our chat beforehand was like, where are your favorite places to watch it? And I was like, Canada Water. And Rick, where did you say Mudchute?
Well, no, I think I said Deptford,
and none of it. We didn't go anywhere near those places.
No, so. You're right. Yeah, told some people a dummy of those.
I was sort of between mile 23 and 25 doing all the watching there. It was great.
Yeah, so just slightly ahead of Jane, finishing in 2 hours 23 minutes 26 seconds was Charlotte Perdue, and she became the third fastest British female over the marathon distance. So obviously Paula Radcliffe is the fastest, and Yara Marucci is who I think is Charlotte Perdue's coach is just ahead of her. It's a very similar sort of finishing time. Kind of amazing. Obviously, that's against the backdrop of her not being picked for Tokyo as well. So I think it was a little bit of a kind of like, maybe I should have gone, guys. Should have gone.
She's changed sponsor recently as well. I think
is that right?
Yeah. She used to be a Nike athlete. She's Adidas now.
Right.
I don't know how recent that is, but, you know, just adds to the mix, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think actually on her day, she is like our best female marathon, isn't she? You know, I think actually been a little bit hot and cold maybe the last couple of years, but that was amazing. And then I guess the big news in the Brits was Phil Sesserman, who won, quite a surprise probably, was the first male Brit home, and he's a junior doctor. It's quite funny when these things come out though, because like you start getting interviews like, wow, this guy like who's just a doctor really, and like he just turned up and he was like first Brit. It's amazing, isn't it? So sort of thing like as if like we could just turn up and be first Brit, but it's actually like no, he's like a really amazing like top athlete. Actually, just also happens to sort of have a job like almost all other runners. So it's not quite as sort of from nowhere.
Exactly. It's not just he decided to like.
Yeah, he's in his scrubs and he just turned up.
One time after his shift, went running and exactly. That's what I like about London is you get that. Jane, you might remember there was nurse who she fell just before the finish line. Her name escapes me. A fact check for Ben, the forgetful idiot. It was elite runner and research radiographer Hayley Carruthers. That was the real kind of like, more so than possibly the elite story, is that sort of like, you know, semi-professional, absolutely giving it their all with a job, and then they, you know, and I don't know how they do it, frankly, organisational skills through the roof. But yeah, just that sort of job versus running capability stuff is really, it's more of a story to me.
I'm just interested, Jane, because like, this is like the first, I guess, it's not the first big mass participation event that's happened, but what was it like to be running London Marathon again?
I was so emotional the whole way around because I think I said it last time I was on the podcast, but I was just like, oh my God, remember when we couldn't go outside? And I think during the whole of the lockdown, not being able to run was such a fear that you probably both have known from my Slack messages. I was so scared about not being able to go for a run. So to be, do you know what I mean? Just to look out on the crowds and see that many people. And I think marathon day is always magic, but that somehow made it more special, I think. Yeah. And I didn't really see anyone. I saw my mum and dad a couple of times, but just, I was just grinning the whole, like, just like dads running over to hug their children. I was just sobbing the whole way around. It's like, this is just magic. And I think I've run London. This is my third time running it, but I think the other times I haven't run it since I've worked at Runner's World, I've worked at it. So do you know what I mean? I've been there for the last few years, and it felt like everything was back to normal. Do you know what I mean? It did, didn't it? It felt like nothing had changed. And I think that was just amazing. I think there was a lot of kind of speculation on whether it would go ahead and whether we'd all be wearing like things to keep us apart from each other. I didn't know how it would be. And I didn't know whether the waves would make it a bit quieter, but it wasn't like that at all. It felt as busy as it always has been, in a good way. I think it's the crowds that get you around, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think that's what sets the race apart from almost any other race on the planet, isn't it? And I guess there were probably less crowds. I guess that was the idea, wasn't it, yesterday? But it was still like, the attendance was still great, I think. And I don't think there was probably any part of the course where you were like running down empty roads or whatever.
No, it was obviously the quiet bits around Canary Wharf, but even that wasn't too quiet. Like, it felt good.
Do you think that you, like, even a lot of marathons now, Jane, obviously still getting better. If anyone's listening, like, what do you reckon you've learned through running the marathon? Like, why do you think that you managed to run a PB this time?
Why do you keep doing it?
I think it's a bug. And I think so many people, a couple of my friends who did it for the first time, text me today being like, today I've just been in tears all morning because I'm like, it's over. And I just feel like it's all done and it's over. And I didn't take any photos because I was just having the best day. And I'm like, I've got nothing to look back on. I've got no memories. And I'm like, actually, no, I do. I do have memories. They're still in my brain. But loads of my friends have texted me and said, I can't stop watching videos or talking about it. And it's like a bug, isn't it? And I think the first London, I was like, I'm never doing this again. I hated every second of it. Well, I didn't hate every second of it. I was like, I'm not ever doing it again. It hurts so much. And then, I don't know. I think I just missed it. I missed having something to train for. I missed, like, I think it's hard to look back at a London Marathon and not want to do it again because it's just such an amazing day. And then, obviously, the first London Marathon made me quit my job and join Runner's World. So I'm not saying everyone should go that big, but like, I didn't look back. And then I did the second one with a time goal in mind and didn't get it. And I felt like, I don't know, I think I went out yesterday being like, I have no idea what's going to happen, but I just want to have the best day. And I think maybe that mindset was really important. And I think that was one thing that it's probably taken me till now to realise actually, your mindset, obviously you have to train and, you know, but I think it's not the shoes, it's not really the gels, it's your mind. And I think every other London Marathon I've been so, when it's got hard or when my watch has gone mad, I've kind of given up a bit and walked and had a cry. Whereas yesterday I was like, this is just great. I'm having such a fun time. And I think that made a difference. But I don't know if that's advice.
No, I think it is. And it's probably comes with experience, doesn't it? Of like maybe having got it wrong a couple of times and then feel like I know now what's required to, like, it's a sort of maturity, isn't it, that's required for long distance races, I think.
To give a slice of two people chatting about the marathon whilst high on the passive fumes of runners and how it makes you feel, here's a small recording of me and Rick from the side of the road with atmospheric noises to complement this podcast and to bring you all some insight of what two men waffling about a run that's taking place in front of them sounds like.
Here we are, mate.
This is high tech.
Mile 24 and a half of the London Marathon, just sort of around Embankment Tube. Very much in the pain cave here, aren't we? We're looking at people coming past.
There's some happy people and some quite sad people, yeah, is what we're seeing right now.
Yeah. It's sort of a reminder that nothing ages you like the marathon. It's a bit like you need to put like a banana in a bag.
It's true.
And it very, very quickly becomes sort of like...
Are you saying that some people here look quite mushy?
Yeah, in a nice way, though. Obviously, it's incredible what people are doing, but we're really at the kind of action end, aren't we, of like... what all the training is about, because these are like, you know, and we've talked about this, like, but it doesn't help now to tell someone you've only got a mile and a half.
Oh yeah,
it's like the longest
no
mile.
One wants to hear anything like that. No, absolutely not. No, it's amazing. It's so good to be here watching this, isn't it? The sun's shining.
Great day, absolutely great day. I was trying to think the last time, so I would have paced down here in 2018.
Yeah, that was
last
when I ran it. Yeah,
it was like a great weather for it, similar to today, and it's also amazing to see like a mass event back on again like this. Like, I mean, yeah, it's almost, you know, it's not as if like the pandemic hasn't happened, but it's great to see something like this, like sort of running normality returning a bit.
It's lovely. It's really like it buoys you up. Everyone's looking good. Even these guys, look, there's some smiles. I'm seeing some smiles. Oh, and some waves.
So you actually saw Jane, didn't you?
Yep. Jane was looking strong, about a mile 23.
Ooh.
Yeah. I reckon we can probably confirm this.
She's on for a PB.
Because she's on this podcast, and we'll ask her. Yeah. But I think she might have snuck in with a cheeky PB. No, I also saw good friend Francesca from Women's Health.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's only just got a casual 40-minute PB with a 3:16. So massive props to her.
Yeah, what a time. And what PB.
What a day to do it.
Yeah, that's amazing. So,
And I'm sure all the stories like that will come thick and fast. Thick and fast after the event, and it's just people have been building up to this for 2 years.
Yeah,
and this is what happens. So yeah, it's really good to be here.
Yeah,
to see
agree.
It all
yeah, it's lovely thing to witness. And as you say, like the amount of charity vests going across now, it's a reminder, isn't it, that this is actually the biggest singular fundraising day on the planet. So
yeah,
hard not to get. Hard not to feel quite emotional about seeing it back on, I think.
Yeah, well, we're stood quite just next to the one of the Pancreatic Cancer UK stands, and they're doing a fantastic bit of cheering for the people as they come through. I was down by Macmillan earlier. They were giving it some noise, so that was excellent. I think the charity bits, when their runners come through,
yeah,
that's absolutely fun.
I agree.
That's really great. Oh,
well, on the costume front, I saw, I think someone has a caterpillar. World record event.
Very nice.
You've got to get on, haven't you? That's the problem with these costumes. You've really got to get on with the people you're running with. Imagine you've got one person in a caterpillar who's like not pulling their weight.
Yeah, terrible. The back.
Get out.
Go at the back's rubbish. Yeah. Lazy. Yeah. We just saw a brain go past.
A brain, that was a good one.
Yeah.
I saw someone in a full flamenco costume, including heels.
Well, that's phenomenal. They should get their own special medal for that.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
So you and me next year then, I think. What do you think?
What, doing this?
Yeah.
What, as we record it?
No, just run it, I think.
Yeah.
As a caterpillar.
Absolutely not. I'm not being tethered to you in any way possible. No. Yeah, this makes me want to do it. I didn't think that was going to be the response from today. I thought coming here today would just make me love running a bit and just be like, yeah, cool. No, it's really nice to see everyone do it. Oh. But it makes me want to think about doing it again, which is really dangerous because I didn't ever want to do it again.
You said it here first. Confirmed.
It's not confirmed. So I've speculated wildly while being emotional. That's all that's happened.
So I'm on the lookout for Mark Barrett, a good friend of mine, who is running for Alzheimer's, and I think she'll be coming through at any point. So
all right, well, we should probably down mics then and let that happen, because we don't want to miss him. But here we go, live and direct from the marathon.
We're everywhere.
We're literally everywhere. Can't get rid of us.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Rick has, well, as you can hear, Rick has stated that both him and I are now going to do the marathon next year. So,
oh, I'm really keen. I'm so keen, mate. I'm so keen to do it.
Should we do it together and live record it and see what happens? Rick, you've got to slow down, Rick.
Well, or we've just got to go faster, Jane. I mean, that's, come on, let's not do ourselves a disservice here. It was amazing though, stood there. And I've had it all today. I went running this morning and it was absolutely like one of those runs where you're just beaming because it was the fallout of being in amongst watching people run. And we were at the really sort of chunky end of it when we were watching Rick. We were seeing all of the suffering and all of the sort of like end bits of the race, and it still made me want to do it, which is ridiculous because I'm sort of a few marathons, I'm certainly definitely a few marathons back from you, Jane. I've done one off the back of no training and an injury and just kind of went out. I had the same attitude. I wanted to just do it and enjoy it, but it was still incredibly hard, and I watched it all yesterday and went, I'd like to do this and do it really well.
Yeah, that's what I thought looking at it. It made me want to do my best effort on a marathon, whatever that is. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I think watching you, Jane, get a PB and watching our friend Chess get a PB and just like seeing people doing that all with big smiles on their faces, I think that's what the difference was. Sometimes with the stories of PBs, it's all graft and it's all looks a bit aggressive and horrible, and you kind of get that, like, you know, gritting it out. But I didn't see that. Even at the end, I just saw people still suffering, but like, I guess in a way, in the sunshine, going, it's better than not being able to, you know, and just kind of cracking on. And yeah, I think that's what has possibly convinced me and Rick. Otherwise, well, it convinced Rick immediately. I'm still thinking about it, but yeah, there we go.
Oh, look, time for a little bit of shameless self-promotion for me. I've written a little EP of marathon songs. You two know about this.
Anyone listening to this will absolutely know what you're talking about.
So yeah, they went out on the Runners World channels this week. If anyone is interested though, it's on Spotify. You can search The History of the Marathon. There's not a lot of albums called that, so if you search that, it comes up. But there's one about Catherine Switzer, and she got in touch with me and said that she loves the song.
Mate.
That was amazing. I was ready to retire now. I think that was it.
That's all you needed from that. No one else, you know, the rest of it, it doesn't really matter. If Switzer's giving you props, that's all that matters.
Yep, she's like, love the song. And I was like, wow, amazing. You've made my year. Thanks very much. I'm going to retire. But no, it was nice because it was mostly recorded a little bit like this podcast, sort of from the bedroom. So you don't necessarily think it's going to reach the ears of a running legend, but it did. So
it was very professional sounding.
Thanks very much.
You and Georgie, a wonderful pairing, not just in life but in singing. And then whoever did all the music, you didn't play all the instruments.
No, there's
a
very talented bloke called Jules Jackson who plays drums and bass.
Right.
So he's the rhythm section.
Was he in the bedroom too, or did he do it after?
No, we're not a thruple.
Weird dynamic.
No, he lives I think he lives in Stroud.
Okay. So you just sent
lovely
him
part of the world
afterwards.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just, we send it remotely, but yeah, it was nice. Got on the BBC News as well.
Rick, you got played on the radio. Your music has been played on the radio.
I know, that's great, isn't it?
Would you have preferred it to have been something else you'd written, or are you happy that it was a song about running?
Oh, definitely. I think the sort of songwriting's morphed to fit running. To be honest, mate, at this stage in my career, anything.
Rick's also done an album of children's songs, if anyone's interested.
Did you sing
that's
the
very
songs
good. They're very
as you
good.
Watched everyone go past yesterday? Were you giving, was it a live performance that I missed?
I was really sad he didn't have his guitar with him.
No, I felt I was gonna just spare people that.
You could have been like the brass band people. You could have just been there with your guitar singing. Next year, Rick. If we're not running it, you're performing at it.
We could put a little song on the podcast. You know, I could just put it in. What do you think?
All right, fine. Here is a sample of Super Duper Catherine Switzer for everyone's listening pleasure.
Back in 1967, men were of the firm belief if women ran a marathon, they'd die. The caffeine switch, they shook her head. I don't believe a thing you've said. If you can run the race, and so can I. Catherine Switzer's gonna change your mind. She'll be in Boston on the starting line. Try to stop her, you'll be pushed aside. She won't be denied.
Super duper Catherine Switzer, she's a running history maker. She should really come and take a bow.
Wow, Rick.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, that's great. So, Jane, are you going to do another marathon anytime soon? Or do you think... Because you were saying, Jane, you were saying that maybe you're going to give... You feel like maybe it's time to come off the treadmill a little bit of running and just make it a bit more fun for a while.
Rediscover the joy of it.
I think I'm not going to... I've got my place in Chicago next year and I'm not going to sign up to anything else before that. So I've got from now till August... To enjoy running and to see what happens. But I say that, but this morning I was like, I've not got a training plan. I don't know what to do. And I said to Dave, maybe I should do an ultra next. And he was like, just stop. Like, seriously, just stop. Like, I can't cope with any more running. So we will see. But yeah, I think I just want... I think actually when I was talking to Lewis after the race, he said that for people like me who... I need to kind of do stuff to keep ticking over. He was like, the consistency of having an extra year really helps me get fitter and get stronger. But I think mentally I'm just a bit tired of being on a training plan right now. But I do agree that I think if I'd kind of, because I've pretty much been training for this since Berlin in 2019. So it's been 2 years. And I think that solid block really helps me get a lot fitter. But again, I don't know if that's sustainable forever, to just keep training and to start training for marathon 2022 now would be a lot.
No, I think I just think things have got to ebb and flow a little bit with running, I think. For it to be sustainable, for it to be something you get serious about when that's appropriate, but also for it to be able to sort of morph a little bit in your life into
yeah. And I think it's easy to get swept, like right now I'm so like, course, oh my god, I want to do another one, but I think in a couple, I think I need at least a couple of months just to see how I feel and go from there. And yeah, maybe there's a different challenge.
Yeah, you've got to enjoy it as well. Like you just ran a marathon PB. Like anyone listening, you ran a marathon PB. It's like the next couple of weeks, I think it really is important to enjoy it and to celebrate it.
Rather than cry in the morning because you didn't take any photos.
Yeah, also to think like, what next then? What can I get quicker?
Cry into my gluten-free crumpets at 9 o'clock.
Oh, you did get a request for your gluten-free pizza, didn't you?
I did.
Oh.
I did.
Rice cake pizzas.
Here's how you do it. You get a rice cake. I've made them sound really...
Really
difficult.
My son has rice cakes. They're tiny. No, it's not one of those,
is it? No. That, you could use them. A lot more time preparing. A normal-sized rice cake. And all you do is put your toppings on top of the rice cake and then pop it in the oven.
You can put a rice cake in the oven.
You can, Rick. Wow. Not too long, they'll burn, but they do go a bit softer. But I think the way I spoke about the recipe, people might think you kind of grind them up and make a flour out of rice cakes. I'm not that. I'm sure you could.
So
it's literally like, get a rice cake, put some tomato on top,
cheese, pesto, experiment.
Wow,
you want, Rick?
Sounds terrible,
when I showed Ben a photo of these. He was like, I wouldn't give those to my kids. So they're wildly unpopular.
I feed them anything. So
they are wildly unpopular. They don't look great, but...
Yeah. I love a rice cake, though, so
you can't
I'm
beat
all
a rice
for it.
Cake. You just can't beat... Mm. In fact, I was sad this morning when I didn't have any rice cakes, because that would have been my breakfast of choice.
There we go. Callow, if you're listening. Jane now lives somewhere else, so just get her address and send her a bowl box of them.
Yeah, all boxes of
rice cakes.
on the nutrition question, so I'm interested in this rogue gel that you had at 20 miles. Because presumably, like, they're not just handing out Morton caffeine gels.
No.
So you must have been... You were carrying this with intent.
I had a box of Gone Off Morton in my cupboard, which
so not only was this a Gone Off, this was a rogue Gone Off, two years out of date.
And I think we we got loads of caffeine gels sent in when they were released, probably 2 years ago. And I took some from the Runner's World cupboard for Berlin. So again, 2 years ago. And I thought for Berlin, I carried one with me and I thought, nah, that's risky. I don't know how that's going to affect me because I, you know,
so
I can only
waited 2 years.
So then I waited 2 years and then I thought I'll carry it with me as a wild card. If things,
love that.
If things feel
just
good.
Just throw something at it.
Just wild card it. So I had Cliff Blocks till mile 20, which I know are safe. I do all my training with Cliff Blocks. And I had two Morton normal gels and then the wild card.
The wild card.
Why not? Why not play it? And
yeah,
it paid
off. Yeah, I love
off.
That. Amazing.
It could have gone one or two ways. And when I spoke to my brother after the race, he was like, that's very early on to play a wild card. If that had upset your stomach, you would have ruined the race. But I was like, it didn't.
Wild card, mate.
Wild card. You got to take risks in life. And I took one and it worked.
Right, wild card gels aside, what about the crowds and the spectators?
All the spectators were brilliant, apart from the anti-vaxxers. There were some anti-vaxxers.
Oh, I saw some anti-vaxxing stuff,
yeah. Holding up big signs saying, don't vaccinate my children. And I was like, this is the wrong crowd. We're running a marathon.
Yeah, it's a bit opportunist, isn't it? It's
like, none of us have that power to vaccinate your children.
I'm trying to do a PB.
I was like, oh, that's a big sign. Oh, what a strange message to have. And then there were so many of them that then the message got through. But and I chased a big, I don't know if he was a tooth or a bone. I think he was a tooth. He was called Ben, definitely called Ben. So I hope he's listening. I chased him down the mound. He was rapid, like big tooth or big bone. I don't know what it was. A big white. I think it was a tooth. So quick.
Oh, big tooth Ben.
Big tooth Ben was so quick. And I was like, I refuse to be beaten by a tooth, but he was the quickest tooth I've ever seen.
Is that an old charity, a tooth charity? Are there tooth charities?
Maybe
it might be.
It's good, maybe, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe free dental care for people. But I need to know more. I need to know more about Ben the tooth.
If you're the tooth and you beat Jane down the mall, can you write in? podcast@runnersworld.co.uk.
And if you were dressed as Forrest Gump, I ran next to you for a long time and Run Forrest Run just didn't get old. He just loved it, lapping it up.
I'm tired of the joke though, I'll be honest. I mean, fair play to anyone dressed up as Forrest Gump, but I just think, oh man, we need a new gag. There needs to be a new running gag.
There needs to be a new film.
New film, just like, oh, Run Forrest Run. All
right. Rick, there's your next project. I've done the album.
score that movie.
Done the album.
Did you did you see any celebrities, Jane?
I did. I did not see. No. Right. I think I was so post mortem gel. So mile 20 to 26.2.
Wow. Yeah.
Anyone could have been in front of me. People like my cousin was apparently leaning over the barrier, waving in my face, and I was like, must keep running. So I became a robot. So Morton, if Morton want to sponsor me. Also get in touch with my address because I will let them go out of date for the next year.
Those things are good. They are really good.
They are very, very good. I mean, send boxes to all of us, please. Rick, you asked Jane if she was, now eyeing up something.
Yeah.
In your current state of injury and having some time off running, what are you thinking now after spending a day watching racing?
Yeah. So I guess I would say that up until watching London, I didn't miss racing too much. I was probably quite enjoying a very like low stress relationship with running in that I was probably running three times a week, not that far, looking after the knee and just sitting on the NHS waiting list, hopefully to get an operation at some point. But yeah, definitely seeing people doing their absolute best in the marathon, really putting a proper shift in and and the sort of post-race celebrations. Yeah, I did miss it and I thought I'd love to get back out there and do a marathon. So I need to be a bit sensible. I think the marathons probably aren't going to happen in the next few months for me, but I think that certainly signing up for like a 10k or a 10 miler is something that's I'm fancying again off the back of seeing that. So
but next year marathon,
well, me and you, mate, we've said it now, so
fine. Yeah, true, we've said it out loud, which doesn't guarantee anything.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. Huge thanks to our special guest, Jane McGuire, and to Ben and Rick also for asking some questions and offering some inane chatter as ever.
Buy the magazine. It's really good. Now that you've listened to us talk about the marathon, you're probably going to want some guidance into achieving your own moment of absolute glory. So you should subscribe to Runner's World magazine. You can do that on the internet somewhere.
You should also subscribe to the podcast to get... I don't think you get notifications, but you will see our little logo pop up every Tuesday and listen to more great chat. Please do that too.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.